program today. We're going to talk about urban homesteading, Holly. And you know, we've got a lot of listeners in a lot of different locations across the United States. Some are in suburbia, some in is rural areas, some are in between, and we're going to cover what what you might consider country people have always done, which is always prepared. But in the more modern sense now, because of everything that everything that's happened in the last 18 months has put a new emphasis on urban homesteading and preparedness.
Right. And just self-sufficiency in general, I think seeing things increase in price or shortages, what have you, maybe has brought to light some of these things that people want to learn.
Well, right.
And just like things being shut down.
There was
a year and a half ago.
Right. There was a interview one of the big news networks did with a farm family. I don't know. It was somewhere in the Plains area. And they asked him, you know, have you noticed during the events that we've had? This was like April, May, when everything was, you know, the toilet paper was coming off the shelves and all this other stuff about a year ago, a little more than a year ago. And they said, well, we really haven't seen anything because we prepare and plan a month ahead. We buy enough for about a month worth of home products, you know, toilet paper and food and all that, because they live on the farm. They're so rural that it's a whole day deal to go to the store and come back.
Well, we buy about a year ahead.
Well, yeah.
Accidentally. I'm not accidentally, but I usually buy the bulk pack and it lasts us a good amount of time of toilet paper.
I mean, there are some people that either because of financial or just because they choose to, they get like the little four pack and that's it.
Right. And I definitely have been there, but yeah, so that's one thing is thinking ahead is a process of urban homesteading. And there's some things that you may have learned to do in the past year that maybe you wouldn't have done before. Never thought you would do. So yeah, I think a lot of people learned how to cook and bake this past year, and that's definitely an urban homesteading practice.
Right.
And it's not even like you have to bake anything fancy or cook anything fancy, but just not relying on sometimes
the loaf of bread at the store.
Right. Or whatever. And even like a couple of my friends were learning how to cook more, not just even out of necessity, but just out of, I don't want to say boredom, but just like learning a new hobby.
Mm-hmm.
That's an urban homesteading thing. Another one is growing your own food.
Well, we've seen, and many of you may have started last year and carried over to the 2021 growing season and tuned into this program for advice on how to best utilize your garden and the products in which you're growing and learn things in which we're able to share to help you be more successful. We've seen an influx of questions and subscriptions to different social media platforms that our content is on because of that. And you don't have to just grow a garden thinking that if I can't grow the whole backyard, it's not worth doing. There is a lot of product and produce in which you can get out of small areas, flower beds, 4x4 raised beds, or little areas in the yard that you flipped over, that you turned the soil over and smothered out the grass and planted right there in the backyard, and it worked just fine.
Right. So, yeah, it's that's just a process of growing your own food, and I think a lot of people learned that it's not something you're going to perfect in 1 year. It's not something you're going to perfect in 100 years.
Right. It's not. Yeah. It's not. It's just like anything else. If you're going to go golfing, if you're going to go rebuild cars, there's a learning technique and a learning process. Same thing with gardening.
Right. So maybe you're limited in your food growing abilities or room or what have you.
Farmers markets.
You can visit farmers markets, and this is the biggest thing about being self-sufficient, doing the homesteading thing, is you're cutting down your supply chain, essentially.
Right. And people think self-sufficiency means you live in a cabin out in the woods and you're 200 miles from anybody and you've got to kill everything you eat or grow everything you eat and you got to drink the water from the stream. That is one way of being self-sufficient, but that's a very extreme
It is
means.
Extreme. You can be self-sufficient in the city. So farmers markets is definitely one of them. As we mentioned, cooking, baking, growing your own food. Learning self-sufficient skills. So this could be anything from learning just simple first aid, And you might think, oh, I know first aid, but do you know first aid? Like, how well do you know how to clean a wound, how to get yourself, if or somebody in your household, if they got a deep cut, how would you deal with that before you could take them somewhere
and,
to get it looked
and,
at?
And are you able to mentally change your thought process of, oh, my blood, I'm going to pass out, to, I need to do this, otherwise somebody's going to die.
Like letting your fight or flight kick
You're
in
right.
or your freeze. People mention fight or flight, but they don't mention that other one, freeze, mm-hmm. and that happens too. So stuff like that, even, I don't know, do you have a thermometer in your household? You know, things like that. We have a thermometer. We have two different ones, and we could probably even use a better one, but it works for us. Even like having a weather radio, we have one of those that you can charge or you can wind. Mm-hmm. And there's lots of the summer where we are, there was a huge storm and people lost power. And so
there was a town a couple over that was out of power for over 10 days.
Yeah.
No joke. 2021, we were out of power, not us, but that town was grocery stores, banks, the whole deal, out for 10 plus days. And it was not a good scene. But also with that.
And it was summer.
Right. It was summer. So with that, you know, whether you have tight finances or you have extra money, it would not be a bad investment to buy a couple of battery packs that you can get several charges off of your cell phone with, just because the ones we have, I don't know what brand they are, but they last months without losing any whatsoever power. And I think we paid $20 a piece for them.
I think it's closer to 30.
But that is something that is essential, that if the power goes out, that you can get multiple charges off these things. And they're good quality. You pay for what you get when you come to a battery charger or a battery pack for phone.
And the one I've had for a number of years. And I used to use it a lot more when I worked, when I wasn't working from home. But yeah, they're definitely worth the investment.
Generator. But anyway, that would be another thing you can invest in.
Repairing
things.
Yeah, repairing things. That's another thing is that a lot of people...
What is a sewing machine?
Right.
What,
you don't even need a sewing machine to make simple clothing repairs for most of them. You can hand sew. And it kind of amazes me. I maybe it's because I was in Girl Scouts or how I grew up.
I know how to sew.
I know, and Joey knows how to sew. And I've repaired many pairs of his pants. I've repaired my own things. I'm short, so I've hemmed a lot of my own pants.
But there's people that skill has been lost. It's grandmother, and then that's it.
Right.
There's nothing more.
Or even just like slapping some duct tape on something. I'm not talking about your clothes, but maybe something
else.
Well, if you have to, yeah. But I mean, like, you know, you have this old lunchbox mm-hmm. or something, and it's not quite bad, but I got a tear in it. You could just slap some duct tape on it. It's not going to be the prettiest, but it's going to get you going for a little bit.
Right. All right. Reuse.
Yeah, so that's just things like, I don't know, there's things that you keep reusing. I can't think of any at the top of my head.
Well, containers that you get food in or mixed drinks in, that type of thing that you can put coins or buttons or bolts and screws and stuff in.
Coffee cans. So there's lots of things. I mean, even just
If we open a bag of fertilizer, we will put it in a coffee can, mm-hmm. a metal one, and then seal it up to keep it airtight and keep it dry.
Yeah. So there's a lot of things that you can that are disposable or recyclable that you could reuse, repurpose. Even juice bottles, you can make more juice in them.
A lot of things that we have is not society has taught us it's a one and done. Use it, throw it away, so you can buy more. If you just take a few minutes and look at what you have, there's a lot of items in your home right now that are multiple use for multiple different things. It's not just a one and done. It's not just only used for this item or for this use. There's a lot of things in which you can utilize these items for other projects.
Even like a spaghetti sauce jar, if it's glass, you're not necessarily going to can in it and preserve because it may not be a real mason jar, but you can put dry storage in it, like rice or pasta or lentils or whatever. You can definitely
decorate it up and put your utensils by the stove.
Yeah, make it look nice. Yeah. I mean, you want to, and then that's another part of it is keeping your things functional and taking care of them. So whether
and know where they're at.
And know where they're at. Like, I have a pair of scissors that I've had since I was a child. And I've had it for a long time, obviously. So there's, you know, things like that. Just making sure that you oh, I lost my scissors today. I'm going to go buy a new one, when you could just spend 10 minutes looking for it.
Right. Raising livestock, if you can. Not all municipalities allow you to have, let's say, goats, chickens, or other guineas or quail or anything like that, rabbits. Some do, some don't. And if you're in that type of mindset that you are able to raise and then butcher out those animals for consumption, that can be a major game changer and money saver in the long run. Yes, the feed costs a little bit and the upfront cost is there, but whenever you're able to basically continue to reproduce livestock for a very small fee compared to buying the expensive meat at the store, or in some cases you can't get certain meats at the store, such as rabbit or quail, you have to specially find those, it does save a lot of money. Now, if you're going to be ambitious and decide, hey, I'm going to do that, one, you need to be sure that you can handle the butchering out process. Before that, you need to be sure that you like what you're going to butcher out. If you're going to raise quail or rabbit and then you find out that you don't like quail or rabbit and you got a couple of dozen of these things, you got a little problem on your hands.
Just a little bit.
Yeah.
Right. So my my younger sister did turkeys. She raised meat turkeys. Ended up with like 300 pounds of meat or something. I don't know.
It's a lot of happy Thanksgiving.
A lot of turkeys. But at least, you know, you would know if you like turkey. You might not know if, and it might be expensive to figure out if you like rabbit or quail.
Right.
Before you raise those things. But that's definitely, and as you'd mentioned, the butchering process. Yep. If you don't want to do that, or maybe you can source somebody, mm-hmm. but you still have to think about your supply chain. And that's the biggest thing, is that urban homesteading.
And knowing how to do it right, so right. you don't cause, you know, sickness or issues once the meat's processed. There's a certain procedure in which you have to go so you don't contaminate the meat.
That's important, too. And not something I had thought about myself. But you can even keep it as small as having chickens for eggs.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of municipalities allow that.
Yeah, hens, no roosters on that. So observe and interact with others in your urban homesteading.
Yeah, so that's like knowing what your neighbors, maybe your neighbors have some sort of skill. Maybe you have neighbors that bake delicious bread and you want to trade them for some canned tomatoes.
Or they're able to grow something in their garden that's literally 20 feet from yours that you can't get to grow.
There's that too. So there's a lot of things like that. Or just knowing that maybe they have a generator and you don't, you can't afford one. And then if your power goes out, they're willing to share the.
Yeah, that's why you might want to be nice to your neighbors.
Right.
Know who they are. Know, you know, without being creepy, what do you have in case of emergency? Because, you know, these topics can come up organically and not make it sound like, oh, you got a generator? Okay, where do you keep it? That type of thing. You know, I'm going to steal it when you're not home. That you don't want it to be that type of level of creepiness. But it,
no, like a friendly, that's why, right, like, right. Observe, interact, and be friendly and be kind, because you never know.
And we get that. There are those neighbors that it doesn't matter. You wish the tornado would take their house out, and you would wave at them as they drove away. We know that there's people like that out
right,
there.
Right.
We're just trying to think on the positive side.
Exactly. Well, with that being said, on the positive side, Walton's is our sponsor today. They're the sponsor of the Guardian Joint Holly Radio Show. Listen, we know you care about your food, where it comes from, canning, preserving. But what about the meat? At waltonsinc.com, you can get all the equipment, seasoning, and supplies to make sausage, jerky, and any other meat product your way to your high standards.
Homemade jerky is good when you do it right.
Right. And then they also have meatgistics.com to help educate on the hows and whys of meat processing, as well as a community of over 15,000 users who will help give their opinion and guidance on meat processing issues. So waltonsinc.com, you can get everything from mixers, grinders, sausage stuffers to help you go from animal to edible. waltonsinc.com, meatgistics.com. Walton does everything but the meat.
And they have a coupon code to help you out with whether you're a butcher, you're a hunter, you're a homesteader, or you want some good seasonings and spices and you don't want to spend a lot, but you want to get a lot. You can go to waltonsinc.com at checkout. Use coupon code GROW, GROW22, GROW22, and save 10% on your order of orders over $50 and get free shipping.
For more information, please visit thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com.